Welcome everyone to Nox Game Design for August 2025. My name is Levi Smith. So this month I'm going to be talking about gating or gates. It's going to be more of an abstract concept. There's not going to be any demos or any code this month. But it is something when I think about game design, this is like really the core. I guess maybe it's because I started out with old 80s games on the NES, and a lot of those games had gating. They weren't on rails or a straight path. You had to unlock different things to progress in the game. So this is a definition that I came up with, or I found: prevent player from proceeding to the next section of the game until an objective is completed. So some of the things I was thinking about was like collecting an item. I'm going to make probably a lot of references to older games. So like in Zelda, you had to like collect various items to proceed in your quest and completing the game. Although there are some items you don't have to complete or you don't have to collect, but they will help you on your quest. And that leads to the second one. Maybe completing a quest unlocks the next section or portion of the game. A lot of games, defeating the boss. And that's also in like linear games as well. You defeat the boss at the end of the level, then you get to the next level. But like in adventure games, maybe defeating the boss does unlock in the next portion of the game. And then also, like, there are some gates based on time, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. So gates can either be sequential or branches. So you can have, like, let's say in the linear game, or you can have like branches or maybe routes where you have to complete two or three, what I'm calling keys here, to unlock to proceed through that gate. And each of those gates may have other gates as well, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. So there's two concepts I've read about when I did a little bit of research on gating: hard gates and soft gates. Hard gates, it sounds like those are the ones that are required to proceed or complete the game. Soft gates, these are not required to proceed or complete the game, but it does aid the player in completing the game more easily. So usually soft gates, you want to do those as well. So I found a good site. It's called the Level Design Book. I'm going to reference this. So their definition is, in level design, a gate is anything that blocks player flow, which is defined as how it feels to move through a level, usually along a critical path. Gating is an abstract concept. It is not necessarily a literal gate or door. It could be a magic barrier, an NPC blocking a doorway until you complete their quest, or an avalanche and various other things. So here's their definition of gate types. They base it on strictness, a hard gate. Players must always complete the encounter with no shortcuts. Wait until a timer elapses, defeat all enemies, loot a key from a defeated boss. A soft gate can potentially exit early, but must usually complete the encounter. Exit mechanism requires staying in a vulnerable position, so most players clear the arena first. So when I think of soft gates, I'm thinking Mega Man. Like, my first Mega Man game was Mega Man 2. So if you want to defeat Woodman, you can get the fire weapon that makes him a lot easier. You still defeat him with the Buster, the weapon you started out with, but there is a path in Mega Man. If you complete the bosses in a certain order, then it makes the game much easier to complete. Although you don't have to do that and use the base weapon through the whole game. So that's what I'm thinking about when I'm thinking about soft gates. They also define this other gate type as hidden exit. The player must explore the arena to find the exit, an exit hidden in a corner that most players won't notice until after clearing the arena. So I'm thinking Super Mario Brothers 1, level 1, 2, the warp zones. It's like most people aren't going to naturally, unless you know about that, jump up there, ride the elevator all the way to the top, and walk over the exit to get to the warp zone, which takes you further on into the game. So they have two definitions: a forward gate and a backward gate. Forward gate, a player's progress. Forward progress is blocked. Backward gate, player cannot backtrack. So I remember that a lot of that in Zelda. You walk into the room, then the door closes behind you. But I guess another way is like to keep the player from like going to earlier stages in the game, replaying old content. So lock and key. I'll talk about that in a little bit. So I came up with some examples here of gating. I drew these little pictures here as a visual aid. So the first gate is a physical locked door, a door with a keyhole in it usually, and there's various keys that you can use for unlocking the door. One is a literal key. I remember in Doom it had like a key card and also skulls, which can unlock the door. So I think the important thing to take away from this is if you have different types of doors, make sure that the key reflects the type of door. So like in Doom, the red door, you need the red key card or the red skull. And also like in Resident Evil 2, you have doors with like playing card seats on them, like a heart or a diamond, a spade or a club. So the key with the club unlock the door with the club keyhole on it or the club marker on it. So there's got to be a little bit of I don't know, matching up there. And also the key could be defeating the boss or all enemies in the room. So you can still have a door, but then you defeat the boss. I'm thinking old school Zelda. We'll unlock the door. So here's some more examples. Like you got a boulder or a wall, the destructible wall. You got to get a bomb in order to destroy the wall. So the gate is the rock or wall, destructible wall, and the key would be the bomb or in some cases missiles, things like that. So the interesting thing about the original Legend of Zelda is like the bomb, you can either require them by defeating certain enemies or by purchasing them with your rupees in a shop. So that becomes a gate in itself. So that's kind of like that double layer gate. First, you need to either defeat an enemy that has that bomb or purchase it in the shop. So that's the first gate. Then you get the bomb to destroy the wall or the destructible rock. And yeah, sometimes it's helpful if you make the destructible item, the gate, kind of like what I was saying with the keys matching the keyholes, like show that the rock is destructible with like cracks or the wall has cracks in it to make it destructible. Unless you want it like really, really secret that nobody's ever going to find it. And similarly, you're going to have like a bush and you need a candle or fire magic to burn the bush that reveals the secret passageway or unblocks the path. Another one is gaps. So the first example I have here on the top side is like in an overworld 2D game, you got a gap with either like a pit or a lake or water or something where you can't go to the other side. In a platformer, kind of the same thing. The gap's too big to walk over or jump over. So like in Zelda, you need a ladder and that lets you cross the gap. Or in some games, you can build a bridge and that'll fill that gap in there, letting you proceed in the game. And similar to a gap, you can also have impassable water. This is used in a lot of RPGs, like Final Fantasy. You need a boat to go into the sea. I guess this could be categorized like a vehicle. It's like you need a certain vehicle to be able to proceed. But like in Zelda, you can get a raft, and that's going to take you over the water to get to the other side. And also, you can have like airships, things like that, similarly to the boat example here. So this is one that I'm thinking about Metroid right here. So you got a platform or a cliff that's so high you can't jump up to it. So there's a couple of keys that let you get through this. You can have like jump boosts or even like jump magic. Zelda 2, Adventure of a Link. There's like an impassable cave. You can't jump up until you get the jump magic to get that high. And in some games, I'm thinking like Castlevania Symphony of the Night, you can have a double jump that will also get you to that height to proceed. Now, one thing to be aware of here is that the double jump, depending on your high jump, if you have a high jump mechanic or a double jump mechanic, is you can have one key unlock another gate. So the double jump could potentially unlock a high jump gate. So you got to take that in consideration when you're designing your game. So you don't unlock two gates with one key. So you got to design your game so that doesn't happen. And then Later on in the game, I know they did this with a lot of old games. Also, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, you had like the bat form or flying form. So that will basically unlock any jump, height, or double jump gate, since you can pretty much go anywhere you want to if you give a player a flight form. And the other piece of advice, try to avoid pixel perfect jumps. So if you do want to have the jump height or double jump to a platform that blocks the player's path, don't make it where they have to exactly jump on the right pixel to get up there. That's generally not fun at all. And here's another one, boss weaknesses. I'm thinking like Goman, Legend of Zelda, the original Legend of Zelda. You have this big eyeball spider creature here, and you get in there, and it's like, oh, I can't damage the monster until you have the correct weapon. So in this case, you have to collect the bow, which you get in level one in the dungeon, the arrows, which you purchase from a shop, unless it's the silver arrows, which you also find in the dungeon. But actually, you have to defeat Goman to get to that dungeon with the silver arrows. And you also have to have one rupee as well, because your arrows are based on your rupee count there. That's another sort of gate. It could be kind of frustrating to the player if they get into the room and they can't figure out the weakness, or that the enemy isn't being damaged. I guess that's a talk for another time, but yeah, definitely show when you're hitting and damaging an enemy that they are being damaged, either by changing the color, flashing, things like that, explosions, things like that. And generally when you hit an enemy and they're invulnerable, it makes like a cling sound or something like that, like you're hitting armor or something like that, where you're not damaging the enemy at all. And you should also give the player like a clue on what type of weapons damage that enemy. You got like the Dig Doggers in like level 5, and you need the recorder to play the tune. But there's actually a clue, I think, is like Dig Dogger hate sound, which is actually, yeah, there's a whole story behind that I won't go into, with the audio recording in the Famicom version of Zelda. But yeah, just give the player a clue on what they're supposed to do to defeat those enemies. Then there's also time-based gates, and I'm kind of thinking like Symphony of the Night. There's the two statues in the clock room, and at a certain time on the game clock, one of them goes away, so you can proceed. So you can also have a time-based gate. Also, like the day and night mechanic, Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, you had the day and night, and there's only certain things you can do, or your progress was blocked during certain times of the day. And also, if you want a good example, Zelda Majora's Mask. I mean, it's completely time-based. Pretty much everything's completely time-based in that game. But you did get to repeat the day multiple times by playing I believe it's the Ocarina in that game. And also, there's some games, I'm thinking Mega Man 2, like the Yoku blocks. It's like the blocks appear on a certain schedule, so you're blocked until that block pops in. And also another thing that I've seen some games do is that they use arbitrary equipment, items, or spells to allow the player to pass. When you have a certain weapon or piece of armor equipped, kind of like the two rings in Symphony of the Night, to let you proceed. Attaining a collection of items, I'm thinking like Triforce in the original Legend of Zelda. You got to collect 8 of them. It doesn't matter which order you collect them in, you just have to have all 8 to proceed into level 9. Using a certain item, kind of like the recorder makes in original Legend of Zelda, makes the staircase appear to get to level 7, or casting a certain spell. One of my good examples for this is Zelda 2 Adventures of Link, where you got to cast Thunder Spell to get the next to last boss to be able to make him vulnerable. So those are other types of gates. Obtaining the keys to unlock the gates. Well, one thing I mentioned earlier, you can use currency to purchase those keys in shops. completing quests, maybe complete a quest to get a certain item or a key. It doesn't have to be a literal key, just the key in the sense of to unlock that gate. And I think I forgot to mention it earlier, but another good example is like the old school adventurous games like King's Quest, Space Quest. There's a couple of other ones in there, but those are like completely gate-based. It's like you collect an item or you do something, and then you get to proceed in the game. So those are also good examples of gating in games. And also maybe in some games you have like a leveling experience system. Then when you get to a certain level, you unlock a certain spell, which allows you to proceed in the game, or maybe just a hard limit on the level that you need to get in order to proceed in the game. So gating also leads to backtracking. So I'm thinking like in the Zelda and Metroid games, Metroidvania games, once you get an item, then that unlocks the gate, but you may have to go back through previous sections of the game to proceed, which sometimes is okay, but you don't want to have to do that too many times. You don't want too much repetition in your games. So that's kind of like what we're talking about earlier, the backward gate preventing people get from going to previous sections of the game. This is some of my ideas on how to keep old areas of the game that you played before interesting. You can add different enemies. Okay, I got this new weapon now, and now put like bigger enemies, more difficult enemies on the way back out. Add new obstacles in the path. You can change the appearance so it looks different. And also you can have warps and shortcuts. So maybe you don't have to like backtrack all the way through the previous played areas of the game. So here's some links that I found on gating. Like I mentioned earlier, the level design book. It's online. Pretty good stuff there. What games are, map core, gating and level design, technical game design. So I kind of threw these in at the end. I was just kind of brainstorming. I didn't want to put this in the main presentation, but here's a case study. 2D, Legend of Zelda, I already talked about a lot of these, but just all the different gates. And I kind of did like a map. This isn't everything, but it's like you see here, to get inner level 9, then you have to collect the 8 Triforce, and to get the 8 Triforce, you have to defeat the 8 bosses. But then then to get into each level may have various requirements, or to defeat the various bosses, you may have various requirements. So it's a lot to think about if you map it all out. Another case is Metroid. One thing I didn't talk about is like the low ceiling. So you got to get the ball form to go in like the hole, or it's too hard to it's impassable while standing up to get through. I think you also have that in like Zelda 2, where you need the fairy form to get into small like holes with the low ceiling. Talked about the jump boots earlier, bombs for destroying destructible tiles, missiles for destroying the red doors, defeating the two bosses to get to the area with the final boss. I didn't mention earlier, but another way to get past the hot platform on a high area is like freezing enemies. And then using those as platforms, which was done in original Metroid. And then Castlevania Symphony of the Night. I've already talked about a lot of these. That's basically it. So next month, maybe I'll have a little bit more of a development talk. But this was just an important concept that I don't think gets talked about enough. And probably isn't used in a lot of modern games. I remember this in a lot of the old school games, the gating, but really haven't seen it that much in a lot of newer games. So anyway, hope everybody found it interesting, and I'll plan on being back in a month.